World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I got to confess to you, I don't know how spiritual this show is going to be today. So if you turned in for spiritual nourishment, you may get a little nibble of it here and there. And one of the things I struggle with, Lord, let the words of our lips and meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Is trying to figure out why people watch Coach Dave live. And I guess that doesn't really matter other than, do they do it for spiritual nourishment? Do they do it for activism? Do they do it for information? And so every morning when I walk down my multi-million-dollar escalator into my multi-million-dollar studio here, I'm asking that, Lord, what is it? What is it today, Lord? What is it that we're supposed to talk about today? And I have to, if I pat myself on the back a second, yesterday was one of the best shows we've ever had, I think. We really got into some deep, deep stuff, personal stuff, and our obligation and our abilities. And today I'm going to shift the gear a little bit because I folks, Bible says, Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. Spencer, real quick, I just heard the Holy Spirit. What does Mr. Webster say about salt? The church, you are the salt of the earth. He said it at the Sermon on the Mount. You, talking to all those people, you're the salt of the earth. The salt loses its savor. It's henceforth good for nothing, except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. By the way, is anybody noticing other than me that Christianity is being trodden under the foot of men? Anybody noticing that but me? Common salt is a muriate of soda, a substance used for seasoning certain kinds of foods and for the preservation of human beings. It says meat, but preservation of meat. It's found native in the earth. Excuse me, or it's produced by evaporation, crystallization from water impregnated with saline particles. In chemistry, look how they spelled it, body compounded of an acid united to some base, which may either be alkali and earth or a metallic oxoid. I don't even know these words. Accordingly, salts are alkaline, excuse me, earthly or metallic. Many common compounds of this kind, of which is common salt, muriate of soda. This is unbelievable, isn't it? When Jesus said that we were the salt of the earth, go down to number three, Spencer. Go down to number three. What is salt at its very heart? It's a preservative. Salt offers flavor. Yeah. It preserves. What? It heals. The many, many wonderful things about salt. And isn't it funny that Jesus said that that's what we were? You are the salt of the earth, but if you quit being salty, you're good for nothing. So you can't substitute sugar for salt, which has been pretty much the gospel, at least the latter half of my life. The non-offensive, who are you to judge? Be nice. Jesus loves everybody gospel. Folks, that is no gospel at all. It's a partial gospel. No gospel at all. The Lord loves judgment, justice, and the Lord loves justice and judgment. If the Lord loves that, why don't we? Why are we criticized if we bring justice and judgment? When, in fact, it's the very thing that we're supposed to do. In order for our nation to remain solid and safe, it needs a preservative. It's a preservative, and that's salt. Anybody, hey, come on now. Anybody out there remember the stories before they had refrigerators, freezers in every house? How did they store the food? How did they store the food? Well, they put salt on it. Because salt's a preservative. They put salt on it. I just saw Dr. Paul put up in there. Anybody ever tell you pour salt into a wound? Because salt has a healing element to it that really we can't even understand. You ever get a sore throat when you're a kid and your mom or your grandma told you to gargle with salt water? Anybody out there? And somebody somewhere along the line came along and told us, oh, no, no, not salt. No, 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 you're sugar. Christianity's sugar of the earth. You're the sugar of the earth. And so we got spiritual diabetes, which Spencer, see if you can find that real quick. I wrote on that, I don't even know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, spiritual diabetes. I'm not going to talk about it today, but if we can find it, I'll put it in the chat. It was at News with Views. You don't have to dig it up. Spiritual diabetes. America has spiritual diabetes. I sat here yesterday. I didn't just sit here yesterday, but I watched replays of Fauci. That guy is a mass murderer. He is worse than Hitler. If Hitler did everything they said he did, Fauci is worse, folks. He's worse. And not only is he worse, he wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. And I could go down a litany of people telling you to take the jab, 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 take the jab. Media sources. Salt draws out infection, Paul said. We're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. We have spiritual diabetes, meaning what? We've become the sugar. Sugar. We're the sugar of the earth. And we think that somehow the sugar, you know, some people say sugar causes cancer. I don't know if you know. Look at that. Look at that guy. January 10th, 2008. Spiritual diabetes. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amos 8 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine for the hearing of the word. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And I don't care where you are, where you go to church, you are being told, Christians don't judge. Hey, Spencer, pull that up there real quick. I thank you, Lord, for taking us where we're going here today. Spencer, pull up judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. Matthew 5, I think it is. Huh? That's where I got our ministry, the salt of the earth. Matthew 7. Okay, there it is. Matthew 7. Hey, folks, we ought to see public hangings, not only for Fauci, but some of our elected officials. They ought to hang because their job is to protect us from exactly what they promoted. Protect us from what they promoted. Judge not that you be not judged. There's nothing worse than taking a scripture out of context and building a theology on it. Judge not lest you be judged. Huh? Who are you to judge? We're not to judge. Don't judge. Don't judge. Well, first of all, I don't judge. I witness. I'm a witness to it. I'm a witness to the truth, and the truth is what judges. Okay? For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in their brother's eye, but don't consider the beam that is in your own eye? First, huh? Go. I'm sorry, four. Well, how will you say to your brother, hey, dude, let me get that mote out of your eye, and behold, there's a beam in yours? You hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to judge your brother's wound. See, it doesn't say don't judge. It says judge you. Look at what you're doing. By the way, Spencer, I'm all over the place here. I'm sorry. Huh? Spencer, does judgment begin in the house of the Lord? Is that what it's Google that for me real quick. Somewhere, I don't know. Maybe I was dreaming, or maybe I was drunk or someplace like that. But I swear someplace in that Bible it says judgment begins first at the house of God. I think. And the churches are telling us don't judge. Don't judge. Who are you to judge? Don't judge. I don't know if that's it, Spencer. Somebody put it in the chat. What was it? First Peter something. I'm sorry, I didn't even look down there yet. Somebody put it in the chat, I think. Where is it? First Peter, somebody said. Oh. Okay, he's got it. Hang on here.
First Peter 4:17.
I'm so tired of the Christian lies. I'm sorry. Misinterpretation. Hang on, I promise you it's in there. 1 Peter 4.
17.
For the time has come that judgment. Hey, time has come. The time has come. The judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous can scarcely be saved, what the hell's going to happen to Fauci? Now, here's what's great about God's justice system. Righteous judgment. And if you're found guilty, righteous, not unrighteous, not the justice system we have right now, putting guys in jail for 30 years, come on. Does it take 40 years to rehabilitate yourself? Is that what it's about? Redemption? Is that what it's about? I understand they kill somebody, you lose your family member, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, then kill them. Don't put them in jail for 30 years or 40 years. If it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and the death penalty requires that you die, then let's start. Huh? You want a deterrent. You want a deterrent. Start capital punishment again. Huh? Start killing some of these people who are killing people. Hang on. And if the righteous can scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Here's the gospel. This is what is so amazing of the gospel. If I go out and I kill somebody, however that would be, car, shoot somebody, do it on vehicular homicide, whatever, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. See, folks, the life you're living, the life I'm living, is not about this life. At least that's what Christianity used to teach us. This is just a trial land for eternity. And some passed the test and some didn't pass the test. And God realized, geezy, criminy, the devil got involved here and all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ain't nobody going to be able to come to heaven. I'm going to be alone in heaven, God says, because ain't nobody make it. They've all sinned. They've fallen short of the glory of God. He said, I got to figure something out here. Huh? I can't wink and nod, look the other way. So what am I going to do? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll send a perfect sacrifice. I'll send my son. Never sinned. Lived a human life. Never sinned. And then when he was crucified on the cross, they crucified an innocent man who had never before committed a crime, a sin. Can you believe that? Perfect and without sin. The perfect lamb. Unblemished. What did they do? They killed him. Why did he have to be without sin? Because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. You sin, you die. So ain't nobody in heaven. Because everybody sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God said, I got to figure something out here. Go send my boy. Send my boy. And he'll go down there and he'll live a perfect life. And they're going to crucify him. They're going to kill him. And then he's going to do what we would call a substitutionary death. Spencer, better look that word up real quickly. Most people never learned this in school. Substitutionary. A substitution. I wasn't going to talk about any of this. Hang on. Substitutionary. It doesn't say it. Substitution. Did you ever have a substitute teacher? Substitute teacher is one who comes, stands in for another. So Jesus Christ, there it is, substitution. The act of putting one person or thing in the place of another. So Christ lived a perfect life, did not deserve to go to hell, did not deserve punishment, but he was a substitution for you and me. And all that was required, because the wages of sin is death, if you sin, you got to die, or somebody's got to die. So God said, I'm going to send my boy. And he'll live a perfect life and they'll crucify him. And then anybody else, because my son never sinned and they gave him the death penalty and he never sinned, I'm going to use that blood of his death to cover the sins of anybody else. And all they have to do is come to me and repent and say they were sorry and turn from their wicked ways, and their debt is paid by the substitutionary death blood of my son. See, you're not forgiven. You are forgiven. The debt isn't canceled. The debt is paid. The debt's paid. It's like you're sitting in a courtroom. You ever been in a courtroom and a judge brings down the gavel? You had a speeding ticket and you're going 250. They fine you $250 and the gavel comes down. The judge says, guilty as charged. Boom! $250. And some dude stands up in the back of the courtroom and says, Your Honor, I'll pay that fine. See, it isn't that nobody paid the fine. Fine was paid in blood. Whoever will come. That's the gospel. And we tack on all these religions and do's and don'ts and can'ts and whys and why we shouldn'ts. And all of a sudden, the gospel of the kingdom of God becomes almost nothing. And somewhere along the line, some terrorists in black robes told us that there was a separation between the church and state. Some terrorists in black robes came along and told us that you couldn't make children say the Pledge of Allegiance. Some terrorists in black robes came along and said, the Ten Commandments. No, we're a secular country. We've got to pull those Ten Commandments down off the wall. Some judge came along and said, you can get divorced. Hell yeah, you can do that, right? And so the law of God was undermined right in front of us. And the purpose of laws is to get you to behave. I get on the freeway. I like to drive fast. I confess it. I like to drive fast. And I get driving down the road, and I look at the sign up ahead. I don't know if you guys have them where you are. It says 65. 65. And I'm looking at it, and I said, 65? Hell, they don't mean that. I'm going to go 75. I'm going 75. And I drive him down the road, and then there sits a cop, and his lights turn on, and he pulled me over. I said, why are you pulling me over? I said, well, you're going 75. Yeah, but 65 is too slow. He said, I know, it is, but the law is the law. And so you driving 75, here's a ticket. And the purpose of the ticket, of course, is for them to make a lot of money, which is why they got the cops out there. But the purpose of 65 speed limit is to have a line, a limit, of which you have to obey. Laws are protective. They tell us to go drive 65 saves lives. Now, is that true? I don't know. Eliminating abortion saves lives. Do they want to do that? Huh? Eliminating homosexuality saves lives. Do they want to do that? Taking away guns, does that save lives? See, you got to understand what's going on here. See, when you take away the justice, there's only two commandments. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is like that. Love your neighbors yourself. Those are the Ten Commandments. Spencer, can you pull that up there real quick? Thanks, folks. This is for some people who don't know this, okay? Pull up the two tablets. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, there's only two of them, really. Huh? Yeah, oh, yeah, there's only two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and your soul. The second is like the first. Love your neighbors yourself. So look at the Ten Commandments. The first four, two tablets. Spencer, can you pull the two? That's good. Can you pull a picture of the two tablets up there? I want people to see this. that's... right there, number second one. Pull that second one up there. We're there, any of them. Click on one of them. All right. Is it up on the screen? I can't, there it is, okay. One, two, three, four. Folks, see, like George would say, they changed it. Because the first command, they're on the first tablet, there's only four. Huh? There's no other gods before me? No, got to be careful to change it on you. Make no idols. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And honor the Sabbath. And those all have to do. Remember, Jesus said there's only two. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Tablet number one. And the second one is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Tablet number two. And what was tablet number two? Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. And don't covet. So you got two tablets. One has to do with your relationship with the Lord. The other has to do with the relationship with your fellow man. And if you break those, then it's sin. And the price of sin is death. Now we know this. Nobody can live that. Nobody can live that perfect life. So Christ died the substitutionary death for your sins. But folks, look. You can't receive forgiveness from the Lord and then continue to go out and spit on and do whatever the hell you want to do. You can't get forgiven of your sins and then go out and rob, steal, because it's under the blood. Once saved, always saved, whatever that crap would be. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? I think about how much I love my wife and how much she loves me. Says, don't commit adultery. There's nothing more deadly than adultery. It doesn't have to be sex. Spencer, I'm sorry, stay with me. Spencer, look up adultery. Or because adultery comes from adultery. Is what is that? What? How about adulterate? How about adulterate? Let's try that. What does that mean? Adulterate is to corrupt, debase, or make impure by sleeping with somebody you're not married to. Or how about this? Oh, I got it here. How about those fake coins that have been adulterated? They used to be all silver, and now they're copper. They've been adulterated. And the Lord said, thou shalt not commit adultery. See, he wasn't just talking about sex. Don't mix the righteous with the profane. Don't say you're a Christian and not be one. Don't do that. But if you do, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can go back and do it again. At what point does the Lord say to you, huh? I ain't telling you no more, dude. Huh? I ain't telling you no more. You are not going to continually tread over the blood of my son simply because somebody at church told you that it's all under the blood. Do you feel like you ever feel like you owe a debt? Can I tell you something? Do you have any idea the debt I feel towards Steve Deck, coming out here and working and doing all the stuff? What if all of a sudden I said, nah, screw you, Steve. Thanks for your help. I don't see you anymore. Get it. Leave me alone. Get out of here, right? Right? We have no gratitude. Betty Perkins, you have any idea how much I appreciate? I'm just looking as I'm going down the list here. What Betty Perkins has done for me? Have any idea? People know of patting her on the back. No, she just did it out of the goodness of her. I shouldn't do that, because then you say, well, what about me? What about me? Well, you get it, right? What have you done for the Lord? Say, well, coach, you can't work your way into heaven. Of course not. But once you've been forgiven of your sins, don't you have an obligation to tell others about the blood of Christ? What it did for you, and it rescued you from hell. You mean to tell me you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and your neighbors yourself, and you don't even go defend your neighbor? You don't even go protect the little unborn babies? You don't even go protect the children in public schools that are being taught doctrines of demons? You love them, but you don't protect them? God help us. By the way, I learned this in my Catholic training. I don't even know if it's biblical. But I was taught Stations of the Cross, I think it was, when you went and prayed. When I went to confession, I asked forgiveness for things that I did and things I didn't do. Somebody give me an amen on that. And I ask forgiveness for things I did.
Amen.
And things I didn't do.
Boom.
Are you a representative of the Lord? Are you his ambassador here? Have you been given a commission? And are you just going to slide into heaven by the skin of your teeth? And the umpire is going to say, safe! They're going to look at the replay. Yeah, his toe hit the plate just before the tag came down. Shoo, you made it in. And we're supposed to be advancing the kingdom. And we have pastors. We have people standing in the pulpit who will tell you to obey ungodly laws. Christ is the lawgiver. He's the guy. I'm not going to get you in here yet, Laura Ann. Pull up Too Far Gone. Pull that up for me. Too Far Gone. See, this is the question we have to ask ourselves, folks. Are we, this is all off the top of my head. Hey, Spencer, look up, if you would. Go to Webster again. Fatalism. And I want you to answer for me right now, folks. Is this the position of the American church? Fatalism. The doctrine that all things are subject to fate, or that they take place by inevitable necessity. The idea that Christians, that there isn't anything we can do about. We're just living out pre-written history. This is what the Bible says is going to happen, and there isn't anything we can do about it. Christianity is full of fatalism. Mm-hmm. We have people, I'm telling you, there are people in America who are praying that it gets worse because it brings us closer to the end. I think it's sick. And it's probably some of the same people. Ray LeBlanc goes out and stands on the street corner and holds a sign, repent or perish. And most of the people in his town laugh at him. Right, Ray? Would that be true, Ray? Would that be true? And know that your heavenly father's up or looking down and say, look at Ray. Look at my boy. Look at my boy out there. If we're just going to lose, if the gospel is just about losing here and winning later, why don't I just hunker down in my house and never leave anything and just wait to die? But that doesn't work because I'm the salt of the earth. Supposed to be the salt of the earth. But salt, I don't know about you guys, salt doesn't get out of the salt shaker. It never gets out of the salt shaker. We're the salt. And we go gather in our salt mines every Sunday. And for the most part, when you leave there, we don't do anything. Why? Because we're fatalistic. We're fatalistic. The doctrine that all things are subject to fate. That's what said's going to happen. And anything we can do about it. Is America too far gone to turn around? Pull that up there, Spence. This is from, I don't always agree with Tony Perkins. Let me say this publicly. Hey, Tony, take the freaking gloves off, will you? Huh? Will you take the gloves off and quit playing Mr. Nice Christian? Will you get your organization that brings in millions and millions of dollars to actually get in the freaking streets and fight? Will you do that, Tony? Would you do that for me? But he does say this, and it's right. Family Research Council. Really? Focus on the scamly. Really? Really? You mean the two most powerful Christian organizations focus on the family? Family Research Council, focus on the scam. You mean we are so inept that we can have no impact at all on the culture? And because we can't have any impact at all on the culture, we just turn to individuals. Well, I get Billy saved and Joey saved and Tommy saved and we'll advance the kingdom. Well, okay. So speaking to the rise of, they elected a communist in New York City, communist, atheistic communist. Speaking to the rise of social candidates within the Democratic Party, Mike Johnson warned that the barbarians are inside the gate. Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House. They can't hold your ears. They can't pass shit. They can't pass shit. Why? Because they believe there's a separation between the church and state. Some of your Republican supporters. Do you know you have Christians in the Democrat Party? Christians in the Democrat Party trying to promote sin, baby murder, transgenderism, homosex. You have Christians doing that. Barbarians inside the gate. He went on to explain, we're fighting right now. This was the Speaker of the House. We're fighting right now in Congress over whether we're going to maintain our status as a constitutional republic or go down the dark road of death to communism. Hey, dude, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. We are promoting atheism. 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 That's what we're promoting. Atheism is the religion of government. Do you get that yet? Have you figured that out? Secular humanism, atheism, no God. That's a God. Folks, that's the God of government. If it feels good, do it. Huh? The Speaker isn't crying wolf. The threat is real. But the battle to preserve the Republic will not ultimately be won in Congress. Come on, Kathy. There will be legislative fights. There will be elections where you vote could determine the balance of power, whether socialist policies further undermine our freedoms. But if the barbarians are already inside the gate, we need to ask, how did they get in and what are we going to do about it? Oh, nothing. We're going to get raptured out of here. It's good news. Tony, that's good news. The devil's team's taken over. We're about out of here. Congress reflects culture more than it creates it. I'm going to say that again. Congress reflects culture more than it creates it. Why? Because they go have the people vote for them. Women want to murder their babies, so they go find candidates who will vote for them to murder babies. Congress reflects culture. It doesn't create it. Laws can restrain evil, but they cannot create virtue. A constitutional republic depends on citizens with a moral character to govern themselves and families that instill virtue in the next generation. How the hell do you do that in government schools? Culture is ultimately shaped by what people believe about God, truth, and morality. And when those foundations erode, political institutions follow, and then people just pray to be raptured. To understand how this ideological and spiritual challenge gained traction in America, we have to look beyond politics, to the forces that shaped the nation's character. I think Tony Perkins is adult, but this is pretty good. In his book, 1983 book, The Grave Digger File, author and social critic Oz Guinness warned that secularization was hollowing out the institution that had long guided Western civilization. Of the church. Somebody help me out here. Does Coach Dave rail against the church every day here? Yeah, he does. He does. Yep. As biblical faith weakened, society's moral foundations weakened, creating a vacuum secular ideologies would eventually fill. In fact, the church starts preaching the social gospel. There's a vacuum there, see? To understand how this ideological and spiritual challenge gains traction in America, we have to look beyond politics. In The Great Digger File, author and social critic Oz Guinness warned that secularization was hollowing out the institution that long guided Western civilization, the church. As biblical faith weakened, society's moral foundations weakened, creating a vacuum secular ideologies would eventually fill. They teach them to your kids in schools, by the way. Booting out the Bible, they're teaching secular ideologies. A little more than a decade later, Judge Robert Bork, remember him, approached the same crisis from a different direction. In Slouching Towards Gomorrah, a book he wrote, he argued that America's moral and cultural foundations were being eroded by radical individualism and the radical egalitarianism and weakening the institutions upon which the government depends. Nominated to the Supreme Court by Ronald Reagan, Bork was rejected because of his originalist view of the Constitution. Though writing as a constitutional scholar rather than a theologian, he arrived at remarkably the similar conclusion. After coming to Washington, I hope to meet Robert Bork, invite him to lunch, yada, yada. He replied, scroll down, Spencer. Robert Bork said, the culture is too far gone for the country to turn around. For a moment, I thought there was no hope. But then he added this. There's only one thing that could save the country, a genuine renewal of religion in America, Robert Bork said. But unfortunately, Robert Bork said, the church has been and continues to be in decline. Robert Bork. So how did the barbarians get inside the gate? Well, they came in through the church. It's loss of preserving influence is the salt of the earth. Now do we secure the gate once again? Well, we don't have to. We're going to be out of here. God loses and he takes us out of here because we lost. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. Salt preserves what would otherwise decay. And history has confirmed what Christ taught. The decisive battle for America's future will not ultimately be won in Congress, but in the church. As it once again shapes the nation's moral character. Change the nation's character and its politics will follow. In God We Trust cannot remain merely a motto etched in stone. It must once again become the conviction written upon our hearts and reflected in how we live. What do you say? And how many churches do you know of or can you walk into where the theme is, we don't get involved in politics. We don't mix religion and politics. And they think that's noble. And people on the way to church drive by an abortion clinic where they murder babies. And they drive by a public school, which they fund, which teaches atheism as the religion of the public schools. And the courts told us to stay out of it, and we did. There's my opening monologue. Go ahead, Lauren.
I think, this is my personal opinion, Christianity, period, is not alive. Well, it is alive.
Lauren, why are pastors standing up in the pulpit screaming for the execution of Anthony Fauci? Can somebody explain that to me? Who's going to scream and holler that? He murdered Americans. He murdered America. Not just him, a lot of other people. If the evidence is all coming out, and what does the church want to do? Mercy, 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 mercy. Grace, 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 grace. I hope Anthony Fauci finds the Lord before they hang him in the public square. Go ahead, Lauren.
Well, scripture says don't take grace to licentiousness, right?
Yep.
And that's what the church has done, because when you started the show this morning, the image that what I got, what I believe is from the Holy Spirit, is that the church is table salt. It's iodine, it's manufactured salt that has actually no, it looks like salt. Yeah. It tastes like salt, right?
Yeah.
But it's not salt. It'll kill you because you don't get any minerals of it. So now you got to go
spiritual diabetes. Pull that back up there, Spencer. Spiritual diabetes. Go ahead.
So you don't get all the minerals. You don't get any iodine. You don't get any magnesium. You don't get anything from the salt that actually the minerals that you need feed your body and your
sugar doesn't provide. Sugar doesn't replace salt. I'm sorry, it doesn't replace salt.
Right, but you have table salt, and I think Dr. Paul can share more on this, but you get table salt, but not real salt. It's artificial.
Yeah. Hey, George, what's that salt right you give there. Me, George?
And Satanism, it's Satanism described as, you know, they're not going to say, oh, I'm a Satanist, so they'll say, oh, I'm an atheist. Oh, we're not eating babies and drinking blood. And
Jesus said he was for me. You're either for me or against me. Jesus said there ain't no middle ground. Ain't no Celtic salt. Thank you, George. George got me. Yes. Pull that up, Spencer. Celtic sea salt. Celtic.
Yeah, it's Baja. Salt. It's Baja. I take it. Celtic sea salt. You have to take it.
I take it every day.
Salt water.
I take it every day.
And George, you have to take it before bed so you don't have because now everybody has cortisol spillage. So everybody's from stress being stressed out.
All
so
right, hang on. Celtic salt. What is Celtic salt? Huh? The real thing, the real salt, not the table salt, not the Sunday church salt. What is Celtic salt? Celtic salt is an unrefined, moist, light gray sea salt harvested from coastal regions like Britain, France. It's known for retaining natural trace minerals such as magnesium, potassium, calcium, and having a lower sodium percentage than regular table salt. Really? It's pink. George gave me Celtic salt. It's pink. Spencer, can you find a picture of Celtic salt? We don't have any other. I love my wife. I don't know if we have any other salt in our house. I don't know. Look, they can buy Celtic salt. Show me that. Down to bottom. Look at that. Look at that red stuff. Celtic salt. See, that's real salt. It's not pretend salt. Huh? It's not pretend salt. Didn't Coach Dave write about that a few years ago? Pull that back up there, Spencer. Pretend salt. Didn't I write something about that? Spiritual diabetes, I think. Substituting real salt for sugar. The gospel of sugar. Himalayan salt. Yeah, George. Himalayan salt. Pass the salt. Pass the salt. Don't just consume it. Pass it. Why? You are the salt of the earth, the Bible says. You are. But if the salt, you lose your savor, you're good for nothing. If you are salt and you are not doing anything with it, you're good for nothing. It's said to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And you look around in Christian America and you tell me, is God on the throne in America or is government? See, it's one nation under God. It's not one God under the nation. It's one nation under God. And who's going to promote the gospel? Why, Christians. Government isn't going to do it. Lindsey Graham ain't going to do it. Donald Trump can't do it. He's not a Christian. And all we do is scream and holler that he's not a Christian when the whole freaking world isn't.
Hey, Coach,
When in Rome, do as the Romans.
Real quick, my answer to the question is that you pose all the time, like, why do you come? Why do I come? I've got something here that I don't have anywhere else, okay? And second of all, with y'all. And second of all, you bring the church and the state together. And then you have encouraged people to bring both of them. So you do that. That's what you do. And Michelle backs you up doing it.
That's what we try to do. We ain't perfect.
But you try. Where in one pulpit are they? Well, there's a few that are doing that.
And let me ask just this very, very simple question, folks. Will the American church stand up and lead the charge for the execution of Tony Fauci? Will they? And everybody else associated with it? Will we do that? Will we do that? And the answer is no. We want to forgive him. Come on, brother, forgive him. I will. I'll forgive him for the millions of lives. Not only that people who died, but lives destroyed. Folks, there isn't even any doubt anymore about what he did. I haven't heard anybody in all those hearings, anybody call for his execution. Not yet. I did see our Senator Marino here drop the F-bomb yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. Drop the F-bomb. But hey, I want to see some people hang. I want to see some people hang. Why? Because justice is important.
That's right, Coach. Otherwise, nothing changes.
Nothing will ever change if we just wink and nod. So here's a question. Are we going to call for the execution, the public execution? Do we? Hey, friends. How many of those freaking legislators knew and played along? Aren't they what they, I go back to my, when I was a kid and I used to watch those cowboy and Indians and the gangster films. I remember they said, you were an accessory. Spencer, what's an accessory? You're an accessory to the crime, Coach. Lindsey Graham, God rest his soul, was an accessory. acceding, contributing, aiding, and producing some effect. In law, one who is guilty of a felony, not by committing the offense in person, but by advising or commanding another to commit the crime, or by, scroll down, Spence, or by concealing the offender. Huh? There may be accessories in all felonies, but not in treason. Accessory before the fact is one who counsels or commands another to commit the felony and is not present when the act is executed and the fact when one receives and conceals the offender. So their duty, every one of those elected officials was to defend the Constitution of America, and they didn't. They didn't. Well, hang on. I'm all over. Hang on with me a second. Spencer, go to my Facebook page if you can real quick. I just posted this last night. Wait till it pops up here. Going down. I got this, by the way. I got this. I never considered taking the jab. Not for one second. They called me names. They tried to scare me. How about you? I trust the Lord, not the science. You know what Fauci said? Trust the science. And look, 44. Folks, if you would go down there and just read what people are saying, they agree. How in the hell did we get these people ruling over us who are complicit? They're accessories to the crime. Same thing with the Epstein Island, right? They're accessories. They're going to bury it. They're going to protect Fauci. Oh, they may let Fauci hang. They may let him hang. Yeah, but they ain't hanging Biden, Kamala, all those administrators have promoted it. And how about this? And all the pastors who promoted it. Come on in, Vinny. I'm sorry I take up so much time. If I don't get this stuff out of me, I'm going to bust. Go ahead, Vinny.
Get it out, brother.
Talk to you while you're
I just wanted to say that most of these senators are accessories.
They are.
They were excused from ever having taken a shot.
Vinny, their job was to protect and defend the Constitution. That was their job. Vinny, they didn't do it.
No, they didn't.
But what are we going to do? Oh, well, we'll just write it off. Hey, Martin, sorry that you lost your loved ones out there. Hey, folks, sorry that your mommy died and your daddy died. It was just an oversight. We were following the science, so-called. No justice, no judgment. Why? Because the church doesn't demand it. Oh, forgive them, Coach. Jesus is about forgiving them. Yeah. They get forgiven right before the noose tightens around their neck. Anybody disagree with that? Come on, I got 12 minutes. Somebody help me. Let me ride this thing out here. We're so soft. We're so freaking soft. Christianity ain't for softies. Sorry. Huh? Hard men aren't welcome in Christianity. Hard men aren't. No. You start talking about the prosperity gospel and getting rich, and oh my goodness, you'll have a podcast that'll have millions of people loving in. But you have a podcast where you begin to talk about murdering abortionists, not murdering them, bringing them to justice for murder and silence. Silence. See, acceptance is safe till they come after you. Dave Allison.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Hey, one of the things I appreciate about Matthew 5:13, and we often miss, and I find it interesting that the King James Version states, if the salt loses his.
Yep.
I think it's critical. The other translation, if the salt loses its, they make it generic.
They do.
King James has a specific his savor. I think it goes back to the point we were making earlier. There's a difference.
There's a difference, brother. For you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it is sin. Where is that? Somebody find that for me. Come on, find that for me. That's in the scripture. For you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it is sin. Find it, Spencer. I don't know. You guys think I'm lying. They said these things for a reason. No wonder they kicked the Bible out of government. Hell, no wonder. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, like stopping abortion, getting transgenderism out of our schools, that would all be good, wouldn't it? No, because the culture has told you that what is good is allowing them to destroy their own lives. Like, that would be good. You're not judgmental. Judgment is bad, huh? Tolerance is good. See, we're all freaking screwed up. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to you it's sin. Come on in, Brett. Whoop, you disappeared on me. Huh? See, I look.
Sorry about that. Here we go.
Go, okay, buddy, go.
All right, so, morning to Coach and morning the rest of the team. So, just want to say we just lost another graduate yesterday. So I'm from the class of 1981. We had 81 students, and I think that's about number three that we lost to the shock. Turbo cancer.
Oh,
turbo cancer.
Wonder how that happened.
Have you ever heard of turbo cancer before the COVID shots?
No.
I don't think I did. So,
hey, Brett.
I'm assuming.
Brett, they knew it. Fauci knew it.
Yeah.
Folks, you understand that? It's premeditated murder.
So, hey, Coach, encourage everybody to call their senators over this thing. I don't know if Fauci's still in the hot seat or that's over, but it's worth a phone call to our senators about
it. I got you, man. Let me play that. Hey, Spencer, pull up. It says Fauci. You ready, folks? Are you ready? Huh? Pull it up, Spence. It says Fauci. You ready, folks? Hey, read it and weep. 2021 and today. By the way, I don't know if I saw this. Side-by-side comparison. They're not even sure that this is the same Fauci. Side-by-side comparison. Go ahead and play it.
The answer is, if there are oversight hearings, I absolutely will cooperate fully and testify before the Congress have asked. You may not know, but I have testified before the Congress a few hundred times, okay, over the last 40 years or so. So I have no trouble testifying. We can defend and explain and stand by everything that we've said. So I have nothing to do.
Under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. Thank you. The answer
by the
is
way, if there are. By the way, folks, by the way, he's already been he's already been granted a pardon. So there is no self-incrimination. He's already been granted a pardon. Huh. Mr. Numbers, go on in, Greg.
Well, you know, it's interesting that he invoked it, at least you're getting into some of this, 111 times. You know, 11's a number of chaos, right? it's kind of interesting that he does that. You know, they spell magic with a K in it, right? K is the 11th number. You need to look up what alchemy is there, Coach, because that kind of tells you about the science in it.
But
here's the thing. Turbo cancers is not the effect of COVID. Turbo cancers is the effect of the mRNA shot, okay? Because that's what got to change your mRNA to get your DNA, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay? It's like you added a little bit, water is a lubricant, but it doesn't lubricate like oil. Unfortunately, right. They put a lot of water in that mRNA shot. But here's the troubling thing, Coach. We got to ask questions. Do good. You get Donald Trump, when asked about Fauci, he talked about it, but you know what he praised? He praised warp speed. Warp speed was the shot.
Right.
And we know that people and Moderna and all the other ones, Pfizer, the initial shots killed people. They know that now.
Right.
Why is nobody talking about that? Why isn't that being held up in addition to what's going on with Fauci? And maybe warp speed wasn't so wonderful after all.
No, so here's the thing, folks. Christians are not in control of the government. Christians are not in control. Why do we expect them to be honest? They're not Christians. For a generation, at least a generation, maybe two, we've been told in the church not to get involved in politics. Don't mix religion and politics. So where we are, where we are by forfeit. We didn't even engage. We withdrew. And now the devil's ruling over us, and we'll be out of here soon. Best thing we ever did was withdraw from the culture, because we withdraw. Now the devil's in charge, and the rapture's coming. That's where that leads. Go ahead, Judah.
Yes,
God had a beautiful plan. God had a beautiful plan. Let everything get worse and then rapture us out of here. It only makes sense. Go ahead, Judd. Go ahead, Judd.
Well, I would say this is that there's 200 generals, and they are Christians, and people will understand this when the details come out of D-class, but Georgia to Guidestones came down at a specific date and specific time for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
It was a message to the world. If people could comprehend, you got to go back and you got to understand, what was this specific group looking or trying to attempt to do? And when you look to the Georgia Guidestones, then you get your answer. The reduction of the population of the planet down to 200 million. If you can wrap your brain around that evil, then, and only then, you can understand the counterplan of the 200 generals who created, not only, but infiltrated warp speed to speed up this evil that was planned. They couldn't stop it, but they had to speed it up so it would be exposed.
Hey, Judd, I want to hear about the plan.
This aspect, the Biden plan. So when you understand with the whole aspect of his signature, the auto pen, Donald Trump came out and told the American public in January, he showed on Twitter, Biden was executed in January 21. They closed down the entire Washington, D.C., put a fence up around it, and flooded it. Why? We are going to get to that exposure, but this soft rollout, like you just said, you didn't think that was Fauci yesterday. You're 100% right. They are explaining to the American people a soft rollout of how the evil was planned. And as they share it with the American people, as people wake up, Christians with intellect can comprehend and understand it. So when people come to resolution, you can put your arm around your friend and pray with them for what is going to be shared and exposed to the American people and the world.
Spencer, I got to run. Pull up, Spencer. Where's the outrage? Pull it up. One end on this. I believe you, Judd, but I'll believe it when I see it. I'm a skeptic. Spencer, it says, where is our outrage? Pull it up there. This was just posted on Facebook today, and I stole it. I don't even know who did it. No, that's not it. That's not it. It says, where is our outrage? It's great. Anyone who doubts or questions should no longer have doubts or questions. I'm reading it. There it is. You just watched a man sit and hide behind technicalities. He literally had a heart attack. Fauci, I don't know if you know this. Fauci had a heart attack after taking the vaccine himself. But he never disclosed that to the public. He became filthy wealthy while using the media, the government, and the law to keep everyone locked in their homes. He kept children out of school, destroyed their childhoods. He kept people from going to work or opening their businesses, thereby destroyed careers and bankrupting families. He kept you from seeing loved ones and holding them one last time before they passed away. You missed weddings, graduations, funerals, birthdays, but he didn't. You were lied to and played while he got wealthy. You were forced to inject an untested drug or lose your livelihood. You were forced to wear a mask and walk one way down aisles while keeping 6 feet apart. And he was out with his family and friends traveling wherever he wanted to go. Where the hell's the outrage? Wake up, church. See you tomorrow.